WildTalkRadio.com.
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw Post Show.
Oh, yes!
Featuring Sir Rockin'.
It's just a man! What the Rock is cooking!
And Lindsay Ward.
Rest in peace.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
And if you're not down with that, we got two words for ya!
Because we believe in doing what is best for all of you.
Because after all, what's best for all of you is what's best for business.
Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
This is Monday Night Raw!
We're here. It's live. It's a Monday night, which means the Raw Post Show presented as always by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. I'm Sirach, and joined as always by Lindsay Ward.
I have so many questions coming out of the show, and none of them pertain to wrestling.
But they do pertain to wrestling. At the same,
not in the way they should, though.
At the same time, they do.
Like, they're... There was tea spilled on this show. There was topping happening. There were just men without socks, fashion choices. This was a weird show. I mean, I get it's the Raw after Thanksgiving, and so it's bound to be a little strange, but this was just odd.
We had many things, different things on this show. Many different things. We had AJ Styles pretend he was blind.
And because, then get admonished by Omos.
So, like, AJ Styles had, you know, the smoke got in his eyes, and he woke up this morning, he was blind. For whatever reason, he was blind. That was a thing. And then they did their whole thing, and it didn't end so well, because AJ tried to interfere, and he got kicked in the face for it. And there was a really awkward stare-down and bickering session between Omos and AJ.
I just don't even know what to do with it. Like, what am I supposed to do with this?
This was after the Street Profits beat the Alpha Academy, by the way.
This was a really good match. It was just weird because it's like, I mean, you had AJ and Omos playing it right until AJ gets up on the ring post and then he gets kicked in the face by Montez Ford. And then he's just sitting on the ground and Omos is like, dude. And it legit looked like a father scolding his child, because Omos is just that big that he looks like he's AJ's dad.
Yes.
So he's standing over his bearded, pouty son as the match is continuing on. Like, I just, what? We had Randy Orton in a wig.
That's where I was going next. You had Randy Orton riddle backstage. By the way, they now have a Hey Randy t-shirt cover marketing right there. And they were going back and forth, and it's like, when I want you to be like me, didn't mean like dressing up like me. I'm not gonna dress up like you. The idea is we'd be more ruthless to keep these titles. That's Randy's plan. Riddle had a plan of, I'm gonna put a wig on your head. And Randy's like, don't you ever do it. You're gonna die. They went on to have a really good match with the Dirty Dogs and retain their tag team titles.
It must be love for Randy, because he's going all out for Riddle.
Yeah.
Like, this has got to be love. I don't know what else to describe it as, because I feel like Randy wouldn't do any of this.
No.
For anybody. Like, just anybody. He must really, I mean, really like Matt Riddle.
He's enjoying his time working with Riddle, yeah. It's clear.
So,
it's clear as day. That's a thing.
Well, I think, like we keep saying, it's a wonderful refresh for him after the end of last year, like a year ago, where he was doing all the dark stuff. So this is a nice little change for him. It's nice and fun and easy, and he doesn't really have to do a lot, which we all know is Randy's favorite thing in the whole wide world. So, yeah, I mean, this is good. This was fine. It's just, you see Randy Orton dressed as Matt Riddle, and you're like, oh.
No.
Oh, this is love. This is so love.
Damian Priest retained the U.S. title over Apollo Crews. Hopefully that's a one and done.
I still just can't get behind this whole Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde thing for Damian Priest. I'm sorry. Like, I'm trying. I love Damian Priest. But I just can't get behind the moment where he snaps because it's so predictable now.
Yeah.
Like, once is, okay, all right, he lost his temper. Twice is, okay, he still lost his temper. Three times or more is, okay, it's going to happen every time, and it's going to happen in the back half of the match, where something in quotations happens, and he loses his mind, and he goes all psycho on people, and he beats them up, and he wins, and then he's all smiles and happy because he won, but, you know, in the meantime, he just committed a felony. So, I don't know, could they, like, maybe not have him do that, or just have him come out and be all aggressive and mean, or again, have him be, like, cool backstage, and then he's, like, all mean in the ring? And by mean, I mean, like, sadistic. Because he could be sadistic.
Yeah.
You don't have to be, like, screaming psycho to show your devilish side. You could be just a sadistic asshole. Like, that's a thing.
The Mysterios beat the Hurt Business?
This is fine.
The bounce back win. We had a Bobby Lashley video package that was interesting.
Okay, can we not do the back-to-back video packages into the interview segment, please?
At 10:30. Because we've been getting that a lot lately.
Like, I get it. They're trying to fill time. I understand that, and I respect that. But at the same time, it's like, it's 10:30. The show's getting ready to end. The audience is tired. They're looking for an excuse to tune out, and you just gave it to them. Where it's probably, with commercials, 5-ish, 7-ish minutes where there's nothing going on the show.
And then if you add in the promo package and interview, you got about 10 to 12.
Yeah. So it's like I legit tuned out of the show, stopped paying attention, and went back to scrolling on the computer. So.
Which wasn't good for either one of us.
No, which is not good for either one of us because we have to pay attention to this. But they got me back in with the main event because obviously I still had it on. But that goes to show you that it's like as you said when we were talking about it, that like that's one of the reasons why they're losing people in the third hours is like you do 12 minutes where there's nothing going on, there's no action, and people are going to tune out. Mm-hmm. They don't care.
In the building and at home.
So it's like, it was a great video package for Bobby Lashley. I personally don't think it's a good look to have show him wrestling in clips from 12 years ago, but they're obviously trying to show his longevity, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. They've done that with plenty of other talent before, but if you're trying to get him over as this like badass, I would show his more current stuff, but that's me.
On this show, we had a contract signing between Liv Morgan and Becky Lynch.
I want that pink coat. I want it so bad.
So, Becky mentioned that this was Liv's first contract signing. Lynch said she intentionally got Liv worked up last week and praised her, you know, right-hand punch, and you're going to need a little bit more than that to beat me. They announced that Becky and Liv would be next week on Monday Night Raw, and then Becky took shots at the Islanders and the city because, you know, they don't have championship teams. So she got people to boo her. Liv told Becky to shut up. She signed the contract. She said she decided to use her fist last week rather than becoming a blubbering mess like Becky did after a match with Charlotte. We saw the footage. She goes, wow, who knew Becky, big time Bex, cried like such a little baby. She also said, because last week in Becky's promo, she mentioned her friend's not being there, and she's brought up how Becky's fat-ass contract is the reason why her friends aren't here. She told Becky that she's become everything she once despised. She said Lynch is no longer the person she once admired. She said that if her punch last week wasn't enough to impress her, maybe this one will. She tried to go after Becky, but Sonya stepped in to stop it. Becky questioned the idea of Liv thinking she could be the leader of women's division, so that's why she had a little chat with Sonya and made a Survivor Series, I mean, just a 10-woman tag team match. Team Bex versus Team Liv on the show. Team Bex was Liv Morgan, Bianca Belair, Dana Brooke, Rhea Ripley, and Nikki Cross, while Becky had Queen Zelina, Carmella, Tamina, and Doudrop on her team. Thoughts on the promo before we get to the match?
The promo was fucking fire. Like, Liv went there with it, and you're like, okay, all right,
The one thing with Liv that I noticed tonight, one, she was paying homage to like a Trish look from back in the day with the leather coat and stuff. Two, the confidence in her voice. Because a lot of time when she's cutting promos, you don't hear the confidence there at times. Like she has trouble with her words, I guess is the best way to put it. She was out there tonight and she was point. She was focused. She delivered her promo excellent.
You can tell she had her boss shoes on because she went out there and she owned it and she owned the moment and she owned Becky. And this was really, really well done. They're just putting more fuel on the fire for this. They're building it very slowly in terms of the Survivor Series style match later on the show. It's nice that we got a second version of Survivor Series. Like, that was cool. And we got it for free. So, you know, ding. But, like, I mean, it was fine. There's nothing wrong with it. You had some good interactions that you can use to set stuff up later. But in the end, Liv got her moment, which maybe doesn't bode well for next week.
Liv beat Tamina in the match. Then she was the one last person standing as she took down Becky Lynch. You also saw Rhea battling with Zelina and Carmella. You had Doudrop and Bianca going in there at the end. So it's like you're setting up more potential stuff for the women, which is a good sign. But yeah, I honestly give the belt back. If they put the match in the main event slot next week, I would give the belt to Liv and have Becky win it back at day one. That's how I would book it.
See, I don't know. I don't know about that. Like, I would love to see Liv win it, but I don't want it to be, like, a short, meaningless reign.
Yeah, I get that, too. But I feel like you have an opportunity to pull off a surprise when no one is expecting the surprise, as we learned tonight. Yeah, we'll get to that in a minute.
I feel like with Liv, you kind of have to, because you've built her up and you built her up and you built her up, and you can't do to her what you did to Bianca, because what's going to happen is if she loses to Becky, especially clean, it's going to kill all of her momentum going into the match, and I don't know if you can recover it.
That's why even a short reign of 4 weeks isn't the worst idea.
It isn't the worst idea, but I could also see Becky retaining by cheating somehow.
Yeah, like I can.
And that gives Liv the fuel to come back and be like, you didn't beat me cleanly. Like, Becky wins either by DQ or count out or some nefarious means, or she uses the ropes like she did against Charlotte. You know, she just throws that little cheat in there somewhere where it's like, she wins, but she doesn't win honestly. And so Liv could come back and go, no, you owe me one more because you didn't do it right.
Yeah.
And that can get you to day one if you need to. Or she could win it at day one. Or you just put the title on her. Like, I don't know. I wouldn't have Becky win it back at day one. You could push it to Rumble.
You could push it back to Rumble. You could. But we'll see. We had a return tonight on Monday Night Raw. We saw the return of the Rated R Superstar. He's back beyond Raw, survived the war with Seth Rollins, and mentioned how Rollins is the number one contender and put over Seth Rollins. He was excited to be in Long Island. He talked about all the different people he can fight, AJ Styles, Finn Balor, Kevin Owens, and even the WWE champion, Big E. But he didn't mention one name.
Mm-mm.
He didn't mention the name of The Miz. And wouldn't you know it, The Miz is back. Back from Dancing with the Stars. And he didn't get the big return treatment like Edge. He didn't get the fancy press release. He said Edge has been gone a month and then he comes back and, you know, he gets the big, hey, I'm back. Is this just your career now? You just make big comebacks? Miz has been out representing the company, being on a major television show. But he doesn't get the triumphant return with the pyro. But he did bring back Maurice and we're all happy with that.
Maurice looked fantastic.
She did. Miz took issue with Edge not mentioning his name when he spoke about Raw roster. And Edge was like, yeah, I didn't know you were going to be around. I thought you were still being a genie or something. Paying yourself like a genie and dancing. Maurice put over Miz. And then didn't he come in ninth place? And Miz says, you know, I was the real winner in my heart. But, you know, the WWE Universe didn't vote for me. They weren't loyal enough to vote for me. Ed says Miz and Maurice could have gone to Pierce and demanded to get the treatment they wanted, but says Miz came out and interrupted him because he knows and puts him in the main event scene. Then Edge got the crowd to chant, Miz sucks. Miz questioned when was the last time Edge held a championship. Oh, right. It was back when he was headlining WrestleMania against John Cena and Edge was in the opener. Edge, yeah, you got me on that one. And I also can't wrestle much longer, but he said he's the guy that everyone wants to stand in the ring, across the ring from. He said it's mutual respect, which is something Miz knows nothing about. Edge said Miz could earn it, but instead he bitches about what he doesn't have and wants a pat on his back. Edge said he would give him one and said sincerely he meant it, what he's about to say. He talked about all Miz's accomplishments and he made it farther than anyone thought he would. But the big difference between you and I is that I fought with every fiber of my being to get this small window back, where you use this to get notoriety for your next endeavor, for your next reality show, for your next dance competition, while leaving your partner high and dry to get fired.
Ooh.
You come out here and expect respect. I earn it. There is also a line that this recap does not have, but that I need to go find really quickly. Because he took a shot. He took a clear shot. This is where I'm looking for the direct line. I like the recap doesn't have the most important line that got everyone talking, because, you know, reasons. You have people on other shows saying your name just to get a cheap reaction. You live rent-free on a lot of heads. In a lot of heads. Calling back to Punk calling MJF a less famous Miz on Dynamite. Took a shot. That's how you take a shot. Mention the competition without mentioning the competition. A plus work there. Anyway, Ed said he could take... Miz took off his shades. Ed said he could take them off and stare him down and he could do it right now. Do you want to see us dance? Miz is like, nah. I'm out. It wasn't the feud anyone was expecting, but it's a good feud nonetheless. It's a safe match for Edge. I enjoyed this a lot.
This was really, really good. Again, you had that dose of reality. There was tea that got spilled. I enjoyed that. It's like, okay, all right, we're taking shots. I don't think anybody really expected or needed a feud between The Miz and Edge, but all right, I'm game. Let's go. It's nice that and it's nice to have Miz back because he'll add that extra lift, I feel like, that the show kind of needs.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's just so good at that.
Especially if he's playing the character he played in 2016 with Maurice, rather than the character he was playing with Morrison in 2019 and 20.
Yeah. Like, if Maurice sticks around, she may not. It could have just been they were in town together and she decided to appear.
No, I think she's back for this, because this is the gimmick that works.
I mean, if she's back, I'm all for it.
I don't know if it's a long run, but I think she's with him to Mania.
Possibly.
Good paycheck for him and her. And helps promote the reality show coming back next year. Content. But one of the themes on this show was Vince McMahon and Austin Theory. Austin and Vince shook hands. Austin asked him how he was doing. Vince said, I hate that crap. Talked about it and how he has IBS and all these things. Vince said Theory's match against Big was not phony. Vince told Austin that he was going to have him watch the show with him and they would look to see if anyone expects the unexpected and how they would respond if they do. Vince told Austin Theory that he would kill him if he ever steals from him again. So throughout the night, we had awkward moments between Austin Theory and Vince McMahon in the backstage, including where, one where he saw all the AJ stuff and Vince said it was horrible, and you could see it coming a mile away. And Austin Theory said, "You're right, Vincent. You have to be more attentive of what's going on around here." So we continue to watch them throughout the night have these moments with a really awkward red backdrop next to them.
Oh God, the backdrop was awful.
Like
it makes your eyes just like bleed, and it was not a good color for Vince.
Vince then told Austin Theory about surprises and always expect the surprise because you could never see a surprise coming. Basically, always expect the unexpected. That was the theme of the night. Teaching Austin Theory to expect the unexpected and never to be surprised by a surprise. To end it all, Vince asked, did you enjoy yourself? He did great. By the way, make sure you look at me. Keep your eyes on me. Don't look away. Always look at me. Don't look at the TV. Look at me. Look directly at me. Not over there, but right here. Austin Theory said when it comes to surprises, you have to learn to expect the unexpected. So he learned his lesson. Vince stood up. They were about to shake hands. And then Vince McMahon slapped him across the face, going, you have a lot to learn. Content.
This was really weird. This was really... It had a weird context to it. That's the only way I can describe it. Because you couldn't tell if Vince was trying to mentor Austin, which I think was the idea.
That was indeed the idea, yes.
it didn't come across that way to me. Like, it came across kind of creepy and kind of like someone's trying to top the other one. I don't know. Like, it's just, like, it was fine. It was content. It worked. But I just don't understand it, especially the slap at the end. Like, I get the whole thing is expect the unexpected, and, you know, Vince knocks him around a little bit. I don't think that's quite the way you should do that, but because he laid into him,
oh,
too.
Oh, God, yeah, he did.
Like, he knocked the taste out of Austin's mouth. Like, you could see it on Austin's face. He's just like, ow.
Vince would never hold back.
Because here's the thing. What was really weird about it at the end is after Vince hits Austin, he sits back down at the desk with, like, this really calm expression on his face. And it just had this air of, okay, I'm going to punish you, but I'm not going to punish you that hard kind of thing. But I'm going to make you, like, suffer a little bit. Like, that's the air it kind of had to it. Like, I just don't know with this. It was so weird. And I don't know what other word to use other than weird. Like, I know I keep saying it, but it was just strange. Like, it just had this weird vibe to it. It's just like, what are you guys doing? Because it was just throughout the night. It wasn't like one thing. It was throughout the show. Vince literally had Austin Theory locked in his office for 3 hours, if not longer.
I will say this. They were better segments than the awkward segments last week.
Yeah, like, in comparison to the egg, yeah, it was a lot better. But it's just, what is the end goal with this? Because, so we all know, Vince just doesn't come back for anybody. So the fact that Vince is working with Austin Theory, one, means that they think very, very highly of him, because you just don't get to work with a McMahon, let alone Vince McMahon. So it's like, there's that, and then it's like, why is Vince back at all? Is it to appease USA? Is it to bring up the ratings? Is it because it's a paid sponsorship thing? Is it he really likes Austin Theory and he wants to get Austin Theory over? He sees Austin as their next top star, and so he wants to put him on the right path. Like, what is the end goal to this? Because it's just, it had a weird start, it's having a weird middle, and I'm assuming we're gonna have a conclusion next week. Maybe not. I don't know.
I don't know.
It just was awkward. Because, like I said, it had this weird sort of, like, top-bottom vibe to it, and it's a little, seeing as they're 52 years apart in age, at least to me, like, a little cringy because of that. Because I'm not really into the whole big, like, age difference thing. Doesn't really do it for me, especially the wider the age is. Like, ultimately, you do you, and you love who you're gonna love, and that kind of thing. But to me, it's just like, no. This is a no. Because there's whole other, like, things that can happen. Not with the two of them, but with other things that just bother me. But, like, I don't know. I didn't like it. That's the best thing I'm going to say. I didn't really like it. Like, it was fine.
But the connotation you didn't like.
I didn't like the connotation of it. Like, I didn't like the what was going on behind the scenes.
Okay. So there was that. And then the other theme of the show was Seth Rollins had a secret. He is the number one contender, and he will challenge Big E for the WWE Championship at Day One, fingers up. Then Finn came out. They fought before the match. They had a match. Good match. Seth Rollins got the win. Seth Rollins going to Day One, right?
Mm-hmm.
He then finds Kevin Owens backstage. Kevin Owens informs him, well, you see, if I beat Big E, I'm in the title match. Seth Rollins is like, you, sir, are a liar. So Seth, Finn's like, or not Finn, Kevin's like, go talk to the bald man. He'll tell you. Rollins goes talk to the bald man, Adam Pearce. Pearce informs Seth Rollins that Kevin Owens is lying. He never said any of that. Seth Rollins is happy about this, and all right, cool. Sonya walks in after Seth Rollins leaves and talks to Adam Pearce, and she asks what was going on, and it's like, oh, you know, Seth Rollins said Kevin was saying something about if he wins, he's added to the match. And he's like, I never said any of that. You never said any of that. But she's like, that's a good idea. So Seth Rollins walked up to Kevin Owens and it's like, ha, you're a liar. You didn't do it. Ha, 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 ha. Ragging on it. And then he's like, I'm not lying. If I beat Big E, I'm going to do it. Rollins like, you're lying. So he goes back to Adam Pearce and Sonya Deville, and basically, I said, yeah, if it happens, it happens. Seth Rollins is not happy about this at all. Big E was not, wanted to take care of the situation. And, you know, he's going to make sure it's going to be a singles match. So your main event was Kevin Owens and Big E. Good main event match. You had Seth Rollins on commentary. Kevin Owens, towards the end, goes out of the ring. You had Seth Rollins rooting for Big E, which was weird, but worked for the situation. So Kevin Owens attacks Seth Rollins, goes back in the ring, continues to fight Big E. This leads to Seth Rollins getting in the ring, attacking Kevin Owens. So he baited Rollins in because the winner of the match, by disqualification, is Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens is now in the match. It's a triple threat match. At day one, hold up them fingers.
I love how Kevin Owens replied to WWE's tweet that he's in the match with, "I did it!"
He took a bow too.
He did. This was really good. Seth, again, was super on point all night. Kevin was on point. Big E was on point. Like this, I'm loving this feud. This is really, really, really good. If this is Kevin Owens' send-off, then it's a great send-off.
Yeah, they did it. They've been doing a lot, and we talked about it for weeks, where they've been setting up this whole situation where they're building to day one. They weren't building to Survivor Series, they're building to day one. And they had this whole story, this entire show that built from beginning to end, and you saw the conclusion at the end of the night. That's good television booking. So you have three of the best wrestlers in the world doing a triple threat match at day one on the first day of the year. I don't think anyone's going to complain about that.
Yeah, no, I don't think anybody's going to.
I don't think there's going to be any complaints about it.
No. Uh-uh.
So this was a better Raw than last week.
This was a much better Raw than last week. Like I said, it still had its ups and downs, and there were still some things on it that just were like, I don't know about this. But there was a lot of good stuff on the show. It was a lot more entertaining. Again, if we could not have the 12 minutes of promo packages and commercials at the end of the show, that would be great. Obviously, they don't care what I think, but just to me, that would help, like, you know, move things along a little bit.
It would. But hey, we're back Thursday night on our regular time for the rack.
That's right. And we are going to be previewing War Games.
War Games.
I don't know if we're doing News Notes NXT.
Yeah, we'll do. We'll do some news. We'll do some notes because we got a couple weeks to catch up on.
Yeah, so we'll be doing all the things. It's the rack Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on WildTalkRadio.com.
Plus, we have tweets. We got to catch up on tweets.
We have to catch up on tweets.
So it's going to be a show on Thursday. Saturday night, midnight-ish, to Decade Plus 4. CBRLive.com, GreaterThanGreatDebate.com. And I got a doozy for this week. A doozy. Before that, we may sit around and talk Fortnite. I think that's the plan. We're gonna look back. So, because there won't be no Fortnite to play. But
we don't think.
There will be no Fortnite to play because it's going to be down for a couple days. But we'll talk about Fortnite and we'll talk about the event. I don't know if either one of us is streaming the event, but we'll have footage of the event on our YouTube channel for sure, youtube.com/rockradioshow, so you look out for that. But follow Lindsay on Twitch, twitch.tv/lindsayward, just in case. Sunday night, we'll be live again to recap NXT. It's NXT War Games. Go live afterwards to talk about it. And we'll be back next Monday live, 11 p.m. Eastern for the Raw Post Show. It's at Wild Talk Radio on Twitter. It's facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. If you have Amazon Prime, which comes great for the holidays, link it to your Twitch account called Prime Games, which I'm like linking up a rectangle bottom of the screen, or you can use creator code RocketSock or
Lin's M. Ward
in the Fortnite item shop when you buy all your brand new battle passes for the brand new chapter of Fortnite. Why?
Hashtag Epic Partners.
Indeed we are.
You can follow me on most of the social medias at Linsward, LNSWRD.
See you Thursday night for the rack. And right back here every single Monday night for the Raw Post Show. Along the airways of Raw Talk Radio Network. Right here at twitch.tv/WTRLive.
WildTalkRadio.com.